Praise you, God. I'm not going to go too long, guys, but I really enjoyed worshiping with you. I could feel just the liftedness. You know, the grace of God acts like wind. It picks you up. The grace of God is also like a current. It carries you. And if we'll yield to the grace of God, we'll find that we're taken up above the things of the world and we're carried further like by the current of God. You know, one time I was preaching in a place and an older man of God came up to me. He was actually in his late 80s, I think, maybe early 90s. And he says to me, "Son, you know, when I was your age, I loved the same things that you love, the word of God and prayer, spiritual books and preaching. And I was just like that." And I said, "Oh, that's awesome." He goes, "I'm still like that to this day, son." And I said, "Oh, that's wonderful." And then he goes, "You know what that is?" And I said, what is it, sir?" And he says, "Grace." And then he looks at me and he goes, "You're nothing special, son. The grace of God is special." I like that. It shows you that it is from him, to him, and through him. All things from him, to him, and through him. If there be any love for Christ in your life, it's because he put it there. And all a man can do is yield to the liftings of grace and yield to the current of grace. The problem is pride resists God, and God resists pride. It's almost like putting your door in front of your foot in front of a door. It won't open all the way. God resists the proud. So sometimes like the grace of God is trying to carry you, but you dig your feet into the soil and just kind of resist it. Well, it's trying to take you, but pride says, no, I'm gonna do this myself. You know, sometimes we try to be, God wants to lift us by his grace above the problems of this world, but we tie and chain ourselves to the world. I don't want to let go of control, you know. But the grace of God, if we'll yield, it'll take us up and it'll take us on. So I'm not going to take much time, but I wanted to point to the grace of God and how it's connected to prayer. Prayer is so important because prayer itself is not about prayer. Prayer is about God. Prayer, if prayer stops at prayer, it never met its goal. It's God's presence. Prayer is presence, and presence is prayer. To be aware of God is prayer. To live with that sustained, conscious union is to live in prayer. And I want to talk to you about that today. Charles Spurgeon writes, "To pray is to mount up on eagle's wings above the clouds and to get into the clear heaven where God himself dwells." Brother Lawrence writes, "We should establish ourselves in a sense of God's presence by continually coming to him. It is a shameful thing to quit conversation with God to think on trifles." Here's another one. Tim Keller, he writes, "Prayer is entering into the happiness of God himself." Praise God. Prayer makes a happy man. A happy life is a life given into God's hand. And that's what prayer is pointing us to. Madame Guyon says, "As soon as you enter into his presence, just remain silent for a little while and enjoy him." The enjoyment of him. Adolf Saphir, a Jewish preacher back in the 1800s, he writes, "Everything within me and around me drives me to the throne of grace." Everything within me and around me drives me to the throne of grace. And last one, A.W. Tozer says, "The unembarrassed interchange of love between God and man is the throbbing heart of the new covenant." Let me just break that one down. The new covenant, in its nucleus, the yolk of the new covenant is this unembarrassed interchange of love between you and God. You miss that exchange of love between you and God, the yolk of the new covenant is missing. You're missing the whole thing. I mean, imagine if I knelt down in front of a girl and I said to her, "I love to marry you," and I kneel down and I show her a ring and it's just a ring with prongs. There's no central stone. She would say, "Something's wrong with your ring." Because the ring itself that attaches to your hand is to keep that central stone there. The prongs are there to keep the central stone there. The whole ring is about the central stone. And so Christianity is. Some of us, we have a great gold band and we have awesome, strong prongs, but often we miss the central stone, which is this communion with God, that sweet, wonderful, blissful exchange with God. But oftentimes, I find that when people are trying to enter into this and to realize a life like this, there's some hindrances that I think can be corrected so simple. And that's what I want to talk to you about for the next little bit, maybe 10 minutes or so. The gospel. Actually, say this with me. Say, the gospel,
gives to me
full
access.
I was with some friends one time, and a guy, one of my friends says, my wife has an access anointing. And I looked at him and I said, huh? He says, my wife has an access anointing. I said, can you explain it? What is that? Then he goes, she like has access to God. I'm like, bro, we all have access to God. No, 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 but she has special access. No, 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 we're all covered with the same blood. I was also at an event where there was lots of big names there, like lots of big Christian celebrity type people. And I was in line to get food. And the guy behind me, he goes, bro, it's so amazing that I get to be around people like you guys. And I looked at him, I said, bro, we're all saved by the same gospel. I wasn't saved by a different gospel than you. This person was not saved by a different. Everybody's saved by the same gospel. You know, there are places, things in life where God positions people for certain things, but the access is exactly the same.
That's right.
The actual reality of God in their life is exactly the same. We tend to think that some of these individuals, they don't, like they float when they walk or something like this. The gospel has given to you full access to God. Jesus rent the veil completely. He didn't just rip it all the way down to the last little bit, and then you've got to come and go, boop. He ripped it completely. He didn't open the door like a little bit, you know, 10 centimeters for this guy, 14 for this guy, and then a foot for, you know what I mean? The door is ripped off the hinges for everyone to come in and enjoy God, to have full, sweet access in his presence. This is so important for us because sometimes the devil comes and he lies in your ear and he says, you don't have access, you know, or you got to fight for access, or you got a hurdle to jump through, or you got a hoop you got to, you know, crawl through. And the reality is those are all obstructions to the enjoyment of what Jesus has died to give to you. You know, Spurgeon has this quote. He says, Satan tells me I'm unworthy, but I always was unworthy, yet thou hast long loved me. You say, Eric, I'm just not worthy for fellowship. Well, welcome to the complete club. Everybody is unworthy of fellowship with God. Listen, if you could see the standard it takes to be able to enter into God's presence, be filled with God's presence, to have interaction with God, if you could see the standard, you'd do one of two things. One, you'd completely give up, which would make a lot of sense. Or two, you'll lower the standard, fulfill it, and become proud. What am I trying to emphasize? I'm trying to help everybody and even remind those that already know this, that the gospel, Jesus' perfect work, has given by gift to you and me perfect access to the enjoyment and fulfillment with God. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, the scripture says, through him, Christ, through him, we both, Paul talks to the Ephesians and himself, Jew and Gentile, he says, we, through him, have our access in one spirit to the Father. So what is the means by which you have access to the Father? It's the perfect Christ. I said it last night, and I'll say it again, and I encourage everyone to memorize this, like, synopsis of the gospel put together by Charles Spurgeon over 100 years ago. He says, you stand before God as Christ because Christ stood before God as you. Make this the mantra of your heart, of your life, because this will remind you in victory and failure, you have access only by one. See, if we think that we're going to have special access to God because we've been consistent in prayer, that's still not faith in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
If you think you're going to have special access to God because you haven't done a certain sin in a little while, that's still not faith in Jesus Christ. If you think that because you have issues in your heart, you keep finding weaknesses there, you long for God, but you keep finding weaknesses there, and you feel like that disqualifies you to come, that's still not faith in Jesus Christ. See, the man who thinks he's doing well sees the standard of Christ and says, there's only one worthy. The one who thinks he's doing terrible sees God hanging on a tree for him, and both meet at the same spot. Faith in Jesus Christ. One of my friends likes to say it like this. Some people stiff-arm God by breaking all the rules. Other people stiff-arm God by keeping all the rules. The problem is, neither one of these things are faith in Jesus Christ. Praise God. You say, Eric, what are you trying to say? Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom, Jesus, W, capital W, in whom we have boldness. That's full face. Boldness meaning full face. You don't have a shame face. You don't have a, you know, one eye access. You have full facial gaze. In him, we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. You say, Eric, why in the world would you speak to a group of men about this? Because I have found that the number one reason why people don't fellowship with God is one of these two flaws. Thinking themselves great and they wonder why they have no experience. And thinking themselves terrible and they wonder why they have no experience. It's because it's not faith in Jesus Christ. Are you following me? So the gospel demands that men realize that God has offered himself to them. The gospel demands that men realize God has offered himself to them. Faith in God is actually expressed by humility before him. And humility has its expression in prayer. You could look at it like this. A man who communes with God is a man who recognizes the greatness of God and the littleness of himself. The all-sufficiency of God and the insufficiency of man meet right there in communion with God. The scripture says, therefore, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. When we don't take advantage of, go and enjoy, fully access, live by the experience of God's presence, then we are robbing Christ of the reward of his wounds.
Right.
He was split open that you might be able to imbibe, receive, have him. As I told you last night, Bunky used to tell us, God gave himself for us that he might give himself to us. Why was Jesus opened on the tree? Why was he cut open on the tree? In the same way, you can't eat a watermelon until it's cracked open. The contents on the inside are sealed up until it be cracked open, and then you can enjoy it. Jesus on the tree was opened on the cross in order that he might give to you his inner substance. That he might right there through that, you can gain reality through him. Gain, when I say reality, capital R. God through him. The real living experience of his person. And when we look at prayer, there's a way of looking at prayer that makes praying without ceasing very easy to understand. If you think prayer is language, talking, then you have to have a life of jibber-jabber to stay praying all the time. You just have to be like, I pray about this step, and I pray about that step, and then I pray again. This is not praying without ceasing. If you realize prayer is to be aware of God's presence, it's conscious union with him based upon the work of another, conscious union, then you can live in prayer. Listen to this quote from Spurgeon. This is brilliant. He said, prayer is to feel one's body made the temple of the Holy Ghost. Listen closely to this again. Prayer is to feel one's body made the temple of the Holy Ghost. In other words, what he's saying is God lives in you. Your awareness of that is your communion with him. constantly aware. Isn't that beautiful? Galatians 3:14 says, in order that in Christ the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Spirit through faith. The Spirit has been given to you. 2 Corinthians says this, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us as God. Watch this. Who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts. Gave us, past tense. Remember, he's talking to the Corinthians. There's all kinds of problems there. They're far from perfect. And he includes them in the gift of the Spirit, the reception of the Spirit. He says, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. The pledge, that word there can be seen as down payment. Great old Fanny Crosby said, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. The Holy Spirit is the taste of the world to come. And this has been granted, given, gifted to you, not just so that once in a while you'd stumble upon it, but that it would then be, he, the Spirit, would then be the source and center of your entire life, your decision making, the way that you love your wife, the way that you raise your kids, the way that you approach the scriptures, what you value in your life, your value system, altered by, determined by the presence of God living in you. You are in type and figure heaven on the earth. Jesus lives in you. He lives in you. And by this, we know that by consciousness of this, we won't delve into things that are contrary to him. And then the last scripture I have for you is, now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God. This is 2 Corinthians 5:5. Who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. I want to encourage you to recognize that your life and my life, though imperfect, and though, you know, learning and though growing constantly, you are a window to the world to come. You manifest in your life. People can see the reign of God on the earth because the Spirit of Christ lives inside of you. And you have this fellowship with him that is most important. So synopsis, here it is. The whole reason why I'm speaking the second time is to encourage you to realize that by faith, not by your performance, but by faith, not because of anything that you, special that you've got, because of the perfect work of Jesus Christ, you have complete access to God. By faith in the gospel, you have full access to Christ.